All right. I guess I just wanted to start by saying thank you to, you know, everyone who comes to these meetings and, you know, everyone who couldn't come today, just because, quite honestly, I'm a little nervous now, and I definitely was before saying yes and after saying yes to doing this. But just because I know this community and just how, you know, how if I don't give a Zen Threads talk the right way, I know, like, it won't, it's not essential. There's nothing right that I can do here, and I really appreciate that this is a space for that. You know, this is really a space to kind of just do nothing. And, yeah, I know the belonging that I feel here won't go away if I somehow screw up this talk, so thank you. But with that out of the way, the theme that's met me the past couple of months has been change, and with it, I've learned a lot about letting go. One of the biggest changes I've experienced recently has undoubtedly been coming to college. There's plenty of things to unpack there that have accompanied the recent move. You know, I've been swimming lately, going climbing, skiing more regularly. The list really goes on and on, but these changes have all been an important part of my recent life. If I could put them all in this talk, I would, but for the sake of time, I want to look more specifically at the way college has most severely impacted me. And that seems to be in no portion more in my life than my relationships. So, starting with old friends, the new physical move from Chicago to Colorado has led to changes in these relationships I really didn't expect. In a lot of ways, I was excited to leave my hometown and excited to have some space. I've known a lot of my close friends since high school, so it felt like a much needed break. But I didn't expect us to drift apart in the way that we did. Even though I was ready for the break, it feels odd at times not being able to see them. Some of the friends I was even anxious to get away from, but it can still be hard to see those you hold close drift further away. Even in times where it feels best to let a relationship slip, it can really be trying, and I felt this most profoundly with one of my close friends from home. Though I care really deeply about him, and I really always will, the time we spent together at college has pushed us apart in a way I didn't expect. It's odd to imagine being in a place where we don't check up on each other regularly, but the longer I've remained at college, the more I see keeping up with him is turning into something more like a chore. And that's really hard to say even now, because I really love the guy. Sometimes relationships deteriorate, and I know ultimately there's nothing I can do. If I push myself to FaceTime him regularly, I fear expediting the process and coming to dislike our talks. Instead, I know I have to let life kind of take the wheel. I half expect our friendship to find itself renewed this summer when I can see him face to face, but for the time being, there's no use trying to force something that isn't there. I know he'll always be a pleasant face and someone to talk to when I need a friend, and it's not worth ruining that by trying to preserve what once was. There's a certain beauty I found in letting go. It's not something that can be easily explained, though I'm sure many of you have felt it, and it's something I've felt in a lot of the changes I've gone through recently, and hopefully by continuing to describe them, you'll kind of get a sense for what I'm talking about. The friendships from home aren't the only ones on my mind. They're less intense. The first few months of college, I met with a river of friends. I mean, seriously, there's so much opportunity in every person that I meet. The smaller, shorter-lived friendships are really quite beautiful to be a part of. Every time I meet a new person, I have no idea where it will end up. Some of these relationships are like a flash in a plan. Some of these relationships are like a flash in the pan. They quickly appear and diminish with a fierce power, but some are more like a rolling tide. They gently come in to greet me, stick around, and when the time comes, they usually drop out easily. Some lie somewhere between, and a few have really stuck. But all of these friendships I treasure dearly, and my shift with my friends at home prepared me well to let things be. I know if I tried to maintain all of the relationships I've seen come and go, I'd be running around like a madman, and honestly, being alone can be one of my favorite times of the day. So finding comfort amidst the chaotic college social scene has been really important. The changes I've just described in my relationships have been somewhat predictable, but some things I didn't expect are the changes I've actually seen in my spiritual life in college. I want to talk briefly about how I became interested in joining this group, because I'm sure a lot of you guys don't know. In high school, I can't say that meditation was a serious part of my life. My senior year in high school, I had perhaps the messiest of breakups known to man, and I mean really. I could get into specifics, but you'd rather be spared the high school gossip. Just thinking about it now leaves me kind of winded. And the reason I'm describing the relationship is because by some miracle, it actually culminated in what I refer to as, I don't know, a spiritual awakening. It's really whatever you want to call it, but sometime late June, feeling emotionally tired and stuck, I woke up or returned to consciousness. You know, it's whatever it was, it changed my life for good, and it's why I'm here. It scared me in a lot of ways, but I knew there was nothing I could do but embrace what I had realized, because I knew, for one, spiritual awakenings feel great. I was weeping with joy for at least an hour afterwards, and since then I've been endowed with a feeling of trust that's lifted some burden I didn't know I had off my back. Second, though, I didn't think I had a choice in denying what I had realized that day. If I had pushed back, I likely would have been overwhelmed by a conflicted feeling that I never would have shaken. So I did what had to be done, took in the newfound peace as my own, and hoped to hold on to it forever. And that's why I came here. You know, I didn't really have a place to go, and finding this group was really, really essential for me. Naively, I thought that I was kind of done with spiritual change. I didn't ever expect to live my life without what I had come to realize, and I saw the tranquility I had found as something I was going to keep. It seemed like one thing I could keep constant, that as I've discovered more recently, even something so grand can slip easily from one's grasp. I thought spiritual realizations were kind of like paintings. They don't really move, and you can look at them whenever you want, maybe even show them to your friends. Instead, they feel more like the air. Sometimes you notice it, sometimes you don't, but either way, it's around. And you can't really call upon it to whirl past you in some grand way. Point is, after my newfound understanding of the world and my brief attainment of what felt like enlightenment, you can imagine how surprised I was when all I had come to hold so dear felt as though it were packing up its bags and leaving me. The wind stopped blowing, and it scared me. Life on campus can feel like it's going at a million miles an hour, so when I seemingly lost that soft, safe, quiet space to run to, it wasn't pleasant. My anxiety actually peaked when I was called to write this talk. When I first sat down at the computer to write something, I wanted it to be impressive. I knew you would all be happy to listen regardless of what I said today, but nonetheless, I cared. So when I sat with an empty mind, looking left and right for something, anything spiritual, and I came up short, I was terrified. I mean, where had it all gone? Was I a fraud? Was this all for naught? I really didn't know. I stopped that day after getting a few words on the page and decided to come back later. And when I sat down again, I found nothing. So I did what I could, threw up my arms, and started writing about the feeling I had of being helpless. I knew there was nothing I could do to conjure up profound words, and I resigned myself. I resigned myself to the change in my spiritual life. That's when I felt a shift. Even though I had been handed what just felt like a test of my spiritual path and failed it utterly, it didn't feel that way. Just months before, I would have been able to ramble on about oneness, love, trust, and I thought I had completely lost it all. But in truth, it was all just pointing me to some greater wisdom. My aversion to being bad at spirituality was simply getting in the way of seeing what I was meant to. Amongst all the recent change I had undergone in the months prior, and the seeming diminishment of my spirituality, one voice had been quietly trying to show me something. Nothing's immune to change, even this path I tread. And the beauty found in letting go is greater than any reward an attempt at stagnation could reap. I found in granting the world unconditional freedom, you release yourself from a burden greater than any man or woman should carry, and that unconditional freedom includes letting go, even of that which we hold most dearly. For me, that's spirituality. Looking back, I spoke briefly about a kind of beauty in letting go. When I spoke about this, I was talking about relationships that I hold close to my heart. Seeing my close friends move away and watching my relationships with my parents shift at times is difficult to be a part of, but despite this, there's beauty. Perhaps an unusual comparison, but to me, it's much like watching a TV show you love come to a close instead of running long only to jump the shark. For those of you who aren't big on TV, the feeling also closely resembles having an amazing meal that's just the right size. A part of you still wants to continue gorging yourself, but because there isn't any food left to be had, you leave the restaurant feeling appropriately full and nostalgic for the food you ate moments ago. I guess it's not exactly the same, but accepting the loss of what my relationships used to be leaves me feeling a satisfactory wonderment of what came before and what will come after. The same goes for my spirituality. The feeling doesn't just sit with the changes I have noticed in my relationships. Letting go of and accepting the small stuff all around me also imbues me with the same feeling. Seeing those smaller friends come and go, ripping a hole in one of my favorite pair of pants only to use them as climbing pants, or setting down a project that I've just lost passion for. Letting go isn't always easy. Sometimes, unlike an appropriately portioned meal, the change can leave me feeling empty. For example, as a result of some issues with my hip, I haven't been able to run in the mornings as I did in high school. I'd be lying if I said it didn't still make me sad, even though I've been dealing with it for months. But in letting go, there's still a freedom to cry or scream, and a freedom from my conflict with the way things are going. Like in my spiritual life, I've learned I can't rely on brute force to outdo the direction things are heading, whether that be my running career or the path I'm taking in spirituality. Sitting at my computer for hours, talking out loud to myself, and journaling frantically didn't help me come up with something profound to speak about today. I was better relaxing, hopping off my own agenda, and seeing what I could come up with. Things change. Sometimes meditation feels great for a matter of weeks, and sometimes you feel tired and frustrated. My thoughts on letting go, as I recently considered, are still a little scattered. There's obviously a lot I have to learn, and a lot I can't yet put into words. But for the time being, I don't think I can change that. My talk today was a little over the board, but I want to wrap up by reiterating what I've learned recently. Correct me if I'm wrong on this, but there's a lot we all carry around. So sometimes it's important to take some of the weight off your shoulders, as hard as that may be, and whatever that may mean for you. Either way, we walk this path together, and it can be quite rough. Treat yourself kindly and ask for help. And thank you all again for taking the time to listen. Thank you.